T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He has branched out and done a lot of other things, including his podcast. And I don't know if you've had a chance to see it on Cleveland.com or not, but it's really good, really interesting. And I got to tell you, Doug, who's on the line right now, the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I was watching it the other day. Doug, you look super comfortable doing that. I just have a feeling Jeff and I might be in trouble somewhere down the road because it was good. It was
really good. Very nice of you for saying that. But I'm raw and I'm loud and I'm an acquired taste, so I don't think you have anything to worry about.
I think that's why we get along, buddy.
Maybe that's why I liked it so much. I can respect that.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people like it. Some people really hate it. So, yeah. But thank you
for listening. Are you having fun with it? Because it appeared to me that you look like you were having fun. You got the giant microphone in front of you. You're ready to roll.
No, I really like it. And, like, I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but I say this all the time. Writing is hard. Talking is easy. No offense to people who make their living talking. Like, it's actually not that. But sometimes after, 25 years of the grind of sitting down and trying to put stories together, I like the free-flowing nature of a verbal conversation.
Yeah, he is Doug Lemerice, and he will never be on the show again. Doug, thank you for your time, man. It was great. No, I'm just teasing you. Yeah. No, anyways, I really enjoyed it, and I just want you to know that. I want to dig in on this Ohio State stuff with you first because I just think it's fascinating. Ryan Day made me think and actually made me think that, starting football in January could work, and then the events of this week, it has been a roller coaster trying to figure out, are they playing, are they not playing? Are we looking at a commissioner who's going to get fired? Are they going to have the little Big Ten? What are your thoughts on what's going on right now with college football, in particular Ohio State?
So I'd say trying to condense it, the fall is not going to be perfect for anybody. Of course, playing in the fall, if you could do it safely, would be better for the Big Ten. Of course. I think a January-February season, which Ryan Day has pushed for from the start, would be substantially better than nothing and substantially better than a March-April true spring season. I think if you play early, you could still maybe in next fall you move things back or shorten things up a little bit, but I think you'd still have enough of a gap between the seasons. I think you'd be able – maybe the NFL would adjust the combine, adjust some of the draft prep to allow – the NFL-bound guys, some of them, to stick around. And I think if Ohio State had most of or a decent amount of their best NFL-bound guys who stuck around for January and February, I definitely think there could be a worthwhile season that the players would enjoy, that the fans would enjoy, and that the Big Ten would gain the knowledge of anybody who does play football in the fall, including the NFL. And if that works, then you'd say, okay, maybe we were even a little overly cautious, but we're ready to go in January with the lessons learned, and we think we can do it.
Doug, what do you think of this idea of the Big Ten attempting to do their own version of a season? If they were to do something like that, going against, the rumor that was floated around for a little bit of Penn State and Iowa and Nebraska, Ohio State, starting their own little conference and basically blowing off the Big Ten and Kevin Warren, what would the outcome be?
Potentially a fracture of the league, and I think that's what is being balanced in all of this is, are you doing something in the moment to save one season that might have negative long-term consequences for people involved, for the relationships in the league, for just the way you operate? We've seen leagues that blow apart before. I think a lot of the way that Texas threw its weight around in the Big 12 in the old days helped that league fall apart to some degree. And so Like, is it worth it? Yeah, you don't agree with the decision. You really want to play, but I think in the end, you know, the consequences for down the line, is it worth it for a year when you're not going to have that many fans in the stands? You've already had some of your good players opt out, and I think in the end, it's as much as it's disappointing to people, it's probably not worth what it would do to the league.
All right, let me throw this hypothetical out at you, and I have not really thought this through. But what if these teams from the Big Ten decided this winter season started the weekend of Thanksgiving, and that they played, you know, 8 straight weeks, and now all of a sudden you're into the beginning, maybe your middle of January, and the national championship was scheduled for January 11th. There's no way the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 are waiting or pushing that date back, would there be? Let's just say the Big Ten decided they wanted to start playing games that early, Thanksgiving. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's hard. I think they've made it a pretty strong stand of, like, we're not playing in 2020. So that would be going back on that a little bit. And I get what you're saying, and I think there is some value in trying to figure out could we link up at the end, right?
Right.
But I think it's maybe a little more likely that, and that's why I think if they get a January plan out there, we see that students are coming back to campus. There are some schools in the ACC that are shutting down on-campus learning. There are, you know, you keep having some schools that have numbers go up with the football team. I don't know. I think it might be slightly more likely that if you said this is what a January plan looks like, and in the next couple weeks things don't go great at ACC and SEC schools, maybe they would look and say, okay, well, there's a January plan out there. Maybe that's an option for us as well. And all of a sudden, everybody's playing in January. So I think that might be a way that things could link up in the end. I don't know that what the Big Ten could try to, you know, get going in November, December, and try to do it that way.
He is Doug LaMaurice of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Doug, is there any chance Kevin Warren, the way that this all ends up, the way the SEC goes, the Big Ten, or I should say the Big 12, sorry, and the ACC, that he shrugs his shoulders and goes, oops, let's try football?
This fall?
Yes, this fall. Is there any way that he changes his mind?
No, that's what everybody was waiting for. I mean, I said that, like, the thing that they did on this Wednesday was like a recancellation of the cancellation. Like they said, last Tuesday they said there's no fall football. And then for 8 days, everybody was like, but what about this? And they had a lack of communication that opened a vacuum to be filled by everyone's complaints and demands for transparency, which are, most of them are valid. And so then they came back and said, no, for real, it's really canceled. So I would not be holding on to any is there still a fall window thing for the Big Ten. I think it is all in on a January thing, and that's the next step, is getting that plan out there.
All right, quick follow-up for you on that one then. So if they do the January thing with football, would they do the January thing with soccer or field hockey or any of the other sports that are being canceled at this time, or is it strictly football?
I don't mean to be crass about it.
No, you're
good. I don't cover those sports, and the interest level in those sports is, we know, 1/100th of what it is in football. There's stuff, I mean, they want to make TV money off of this. There are guys trying to get ready for the NFL draft. I don't know. I think they've talked about spring ideas for everybody. And so I think the January push for football is tied to guys who might leave for the NFL and that kind of thing. I think they would more likely, with all the other fall sports, try to play them in the spring season, because if they're going to play these football games in indoor domes, they're not going to play. I don't know if you can play field hockey or soccer in Big Ten country in January. But you can give those other fall athletes, I think, a shot at it in a true spring season. I think that would be their plan.
Well, because the only question that I got on top of that then is, all of a sudden we're determining that football is a bigger deal in this regard than all of these other sports. And doesn't that then throw amateurism out the window and essentially say, yeah, this is the breadwinner, we got to fund it? And now you got another can of worms.
Oh, I mean, if we're talking about hypocrisy when amateurism, then, that is a big part of it. I don't think that's the distinction. I don't think the distinction is between football and other sports. I think the distinction is between football and the student body at large. And the issue that I think is really going to come up is more for the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12. If they are shutting down, if they are sending students home from campus, We tried it. It didn't work. Go home. We're going to do online classes. The only people who should stay on campus are the football players so they can play the games to make us millions of dollars in TV revenue that we don't give to them. That's the line. That's the distinction where the hypocrisy of college football amateurism once and for all officially blows up in everybody's faces. And so then the question is, do presidents want to do that? Is it worth it? That goes back to, is saving one fall worth blowing up other things? And I think many people have come around to the idea that the college football amateurism is a sham. But if you draw that line, there's no more trying to pretend football players are normal students. And are presidents going to do that?
It's a darn good question.
Doug, you also have to throw Title IX in there too, don't you? Although, I guess if you still offer the scholarships, even if they're not playing, that might be, I'm not saying a way around Title IX, but you are offering equal compensation for sports as far as distributing scholarships. Yeah, even if you don't play a game.
I don't know that you'd get in trouble about we're going to try to play everybody's seasons, but yours is going to be in April and ours is going to be in January. I don't know that that would be a huge issue, but that is part of the component of it, but also part of the component of it is the football teams prop up every other part of the athletic department. So it is, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying the pandemic is shining a light on all the complexities and hypocrisies that have existed. Yep. And now when you get into a disaster and a crisis, now you're less prepared to handle it. And that's why college football's in this spot.
Yeah. Doug, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, you rock, man. And I'm watching your podcast. Just know it's not going out there empty. I'm out there.
I appreciate it,
man. I'm watching. It's good, man.
Why? Just the Big Ten has needed to say all this stuff. That's the thing I want to say in the end. The Big Ten has a defensible position on canceling. They just canceled and then didn't say anything for 8 days. So they've blown the PR, but you can make a case that they were safe and smart, and they just didn't decide to make their own case, which is why everyone's so frustrated.
And that's why there's a bunch of people you know, basically pitchforks and torches on the front lawn in Chicago right now.
That's true, but that is a good way to put a bow on the situation. I totally agree with you, Doug. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, guys.